Okay, so if anybody has any questions, whatever, we could entertain a question, or if you want, I could just bring up a small point, and then if you maybe have any questions, we could still entertain the questions. Okay, so here's the one point that I was looking at, and that is in Chayesara, Chafei, Chafei, Pasuk, Pasuk Ches. Yes, so the Pasuk says, Vayigva v'yamas Avram v'seva tova zakein v'saveya. Okay. So, it says that Avraham died v'seva tova zakein v'saveya, old age, and v'seva tova, well, zakein v'saveya, old and satisfied. Now, Seva Tova, so what exactly does that mean? What's the translation of Seva Tova? Anybody know? I
got the feeling it means like good old age, ripe old age, something like that.
That's what they say here.
Huh?
What is it, what is that's it? What they say over here.
That's what they say there, ripe old age.
So the idea is he was very happy,
right? He was old and happy. Okay, so let's just see. Seva. Okay, so seva means old age. Okay, so old age. So I guess it sounds a little. Seva Tova, ripe old age. That's how Alkali translates it. So, I mean, it's a little repetitive, right? Because it says Seva Tova, and then it says Zakein, which I assume also means old, and Zakein v'Saveya. So Saveya is, that's not repetitive. That is satiated, happy. Okay? So what's the significance of this, that he was happy in his old age? I mean, is the Torah, is there significance there? Is the Torah just telling you like a trivial fact, or is there some, we're supposed to learn something from that he was happy when he was old? Is that, when he was young, was he happy? Is it in contrast to when he was young? Is it was that a new state of mind? And when he was young, he was unhappy. I mean, I don't think that's what the Torah intends to ascribe to Avram on unhappiness when he was young. So, what's the chiddush that he was old and happy? He was happy when he was young. He's happy when he was old. What's So what do you say?
I mean, this was...
Yeah.
This is his time of... Yeah, right? He was like 175 now?
Yeah.
170? Yeah. So like, I mean... Maybe when he hit that point, but it seems like he just like, all right, what else is there going for me in terms of like living life? I have my kids are already going, I made all these promises for me,
right?
And now it's kind of like, what is next? What else is there?
Okay.
But at the same time, he was able to overcome that, and saying it's not just about
I see what you're saying. meaning at that point he had nothing to look towards.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Okay. Good.
I mean, I don't know if Scott was like really interacting with him anymore. I don't know. He probably was, but like, was it in terms of the way he was? I don't know, 75 years ago.
Okay. Good. So, in other words, the fact that he was old and happy is not in contrast to when he was young and it's not implying he was young and unhappy, but it's in contrast to other people. In other words, he was happy even though he was old, which means that age is a factor in creating unhappiness in the normal person. In the average person, as he gets older, there tends to be a sense of unhappiness, right? Avraham didn't experience this. On the contrary, when he was happy, when he was old, he was happy. Okay, so what is it about Avraham that he was happy even though he had old age? Which normally, why the average person, old age can create unhappiness. Why does it create unhappiness in the average person? And why with Avraham was that not true? Did the old age not affect him in that way? And that's what the Pasuk is trying to tell you, that even though he was old, he was very happy. A chiddush. Yeah.
Because he wasn't involved with the physical world, like most people are.
Okay.
And he was involved with Torah and philosophy and all that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And he was able to leave that over for other people who he taught. Like, his legacy still lives on through Torah.
Okay.
So like he was happy in the sense that he was able to achieve that.
Okay.
But other people, if they're attached to the physical world, with like money, you know, like a car, a house, they're not going to take that. They know that they're not going to take that with them, and they're just going to die without it. Something like that.
Okay.
So it'll make you sad.
It'll what?
It'll make you sad.
It'll make you sad.
Right.
And what about the fact that you're going to leave it? So let's just, in other words, there's two parts to your statement, right? The first part of your statement is that he was not attached to the physical. He was totally involved. His enjoyment in life was ideas, philosophy, and study of God's system, right? That was his real enjoyment in life, okay? So insofar as that is concerned, when a person ages, it does not affect that source of enjoyment. That source of enjoyment stays the same. When the average person ages, if the source of enjoyment in a person's life is the physical pleasures, so you understand very well, as a person gets old, he starts to lose those enjoyments. And he's faced with a life of no enjoyment. That makes a person unhappy. You see, so the average person whose enjoyments in life derive from the physical, as he gets older, he gets less happy. You see, but with a person whose whole enjoyment in life is the ideas, the age does not affect him at all, because the enjoyment, the ideas, is not affected by his physical age. He's not deriving enjoyment from the physical. You see? And, right? That's what you're saying. Okay? So that's what the Torah is trying to teach you. That he didn't undergo that experience of any loss. There was no loss with the old age. Okay? On the contrary, you could argue that there is a gain, that the person is even happier with his old age. Because as you find, if you look, the philosophers of the Umos HaOlam had this concept too, because when Socrates, when the court gave him a death sentence, so as he was in the when they were giving him the poison and he was about to die. He was in his last day of his life, last hours, and his students were there, and they were asking him, Socrates, how could you be so, you seem like, he just said, okay, well, let's discuss something. And he seemed like in very good spirits. And the students were seemed very sad. So Socrates said to them, hey, listen, if you're going to be sitting here crying, well, I don't need you guys for this. So they said, well, how can you be so in such a good mood? I mean, you're facing your end, right? So Socrates said the exact same thing. That's what he said. He said that that the life of the philosopher is different than the life of most people. Most people, their whole life is the physical. So when they face their end, they're very unhappy because it's a loss. But for a philosopher, his whole life is the ideas and the enjoyment of reality. And on the contrary, the physical really can be an impediment. The physical desires and the physical needs take a person away from thought. They distract them from thought. So as a person loses those desires, on the contrary, he could be more involved in thought, in the enjoyment of philosophy, the enjoyment of ideas. So there's an argument to be made that on the contrary, that with Avraham, as he got older, his happiness actually would increase, possibly. You see, because as he gets older, then the pull of the physical desires is reduced, and now more of his energy can be directed towards Chachma. You see? So that's an interesting thing, right? That it's the person that whose whole life is the ideas, on the contrary, as he gets older, he's more satisfied. His involvement with the physical could be reduced. Right? And that's what the pasuk's showing you, that by Avram, that the age did not have the normal effect on him that it would have on the average person. On the contrary, age was not a factor. It was his enjoyment with the ideas. Yeah?
I just have a question.
Good.
As a person gets older, is the actual desire for titles reduced, or is it just the ability to fulfill?
That's a good point. It would seem the ability to fulfill them.
Right. So
reduced. Okay.
How would being older help you?
How would
you still
have
the desire, all the same?
How would it help you mean to say that he should not be improved with old age,
right,
and should just remain the same because the desire for the physical is not changed. It
right.
is just the enjoyments, the ability to satisfy it.
Right.
Question. What do you say? Is that the case? In which case, if you say that way, right, then again, you'll be back to the original problem, because if the person has the same desires that he has when he was young to enjoy the physical, then as the physical is taken away, even the great person, a great philosopher, should become unhappy, because it's true he'll have his ideas to involve himself in, but the physical attachments, the physical desires that he has, that he won't be able to satisfy. So that part of him will remain unsatisfied. So therefore he should have some measure of dissatisfaction. So why should the Torah say Zaken v'Saveya? See, interesting. And now you could see, I mean, a little bit the implication of what Zaken v'Saveya is, because we said that it's sort of the pasuk is repetitive, because the pasuk says Veseva Tova. So what does Seva Tova mean? a good old age. Okay, so you could say he was very old, but Seva Tova implies something, you know, he's in a good state. Then the Pasuk says, Zokin Vasaveya. Okay, well, why don't you just say Zokin Vasaveya? What do you need Seva Tova?
Well, I could just say that desires are also getting, are becoming minimal, so you just get one.
What's that?
Well, I could just say that the desires are also becoming minimal.
Good.
So you just go on.
As you get older, the desires are becoming minimal. In whom?
In the person. In, I mean, if he's more involved with, you know,
correct.
Torah and philosophy, it also goes.
That's right.
That's
exactly right. In other words, the desires of a person are flexible. In other words, if a person can't have satisfaction in one area, so the way the person's emotions work is it looks for satisfaction in a different area. A person's not insofar as he's a normal person, he's not fixed on must have this thing, I can't have this thing, that's it. I mean, that would be an abnormality. That would be something, a defect in his mind, that he can't accept substitutes. But if a person is in the normal psychological state, a person has frustration in one area, so he looks for satisfaction in a different area, and he can gain satisfaction in a substitute area. Okay, the difference is that with the person who lives the life of the average person, the physical enjoyments, he has no substitutes. In other words, he's gone all through all of the substitutes. His enjoyments are in the physical realm. So as he gets older, yes, he'll choose different substitutes. When he was younger, maybe he was very active as a basketball player. As he gets a little older, he will graduate to golf, a little less taxing, you see? So he'll choose substitutes and try to gain satisfaction in those areas. But the point is, as he reaches a certain point, there's no more substitutes. He can't play golf. He can't do anything. So then his state becomes a state of frustration. But the problem is, with that type of person, he doesn't have available to him the substitute of ideas. He hasn't developed that part of man's nature. So for him, that's not an enjoyment to go and discover new ideas. It's not an enjoyable thing. He's given up that enjoyment. You see? So that's why for the average person, the desires don't change. In anybody, a person wants to have enjoyments. You see? But for the average person, his outlets are limited to physical enjoyment. Because that's all he developed while he was young, while he was active. But the difference is, in Avraham, it's true, his desire and his capacity and desire for enjoyments remain the same, but he has an avenue open to him which is completely open, you see? So as the person gets older and loses the outlets and the distractions in the physical, right, when a person has physical outlets, so a certain amount of his desires will be directed in that area. But when those are shut off, so then all of the desires and all of the capacity for enjoyment has to be substituted, has to be switched into the enjoyment of ideas. You see, so that's why for a person that's solely involved in ideas, it's possible to say he's even at a higher state, and a greater state of happiness when he's old, because all of the opportunities that existed before are gone. So therefore, it forces him to direct everything to the enjoyment of thought, you see. But that's only possible for a person, a great person who's a philosopher like Avraham and a thinker, you see, because he has that area open to him, you see. So his desires don't change, true. His desire for enjoyment doesn't change, but the where he dispenses those desires is altered. Because now he has open to him, because he always had open to him the enjoyment of thought, and now he can direct himself to there, you see. The average guy doesn't have the opportunity, so he's just frustrated. Right? So there's... Correct? So you're correct. The desires remain just as strong, but the opportunities exist for the philosopher that don't exist for the average man. Right? So really makes sense to say... So now the Pasuk You see, you can see from the pasuk why it's the redundancy is really like the pasuk is emphasizing that even the, what is the seva tova, it is really like a remarkable thing. Is zaken the saveya? It's like a contradiction. You see, the pasuk is showing you that for him there was no contradiction. He was old and yet at the height of satisfaction. It sounds like a complete contradiction. For him it wasn't. You see, so I guess the pasuk in some sense is trying to show you those two contrary things, almost contrary things in him were not contrary. Compatible. Seemingly incompatible for him was compatible. And on the contrary, he was in the greatest state of happiness. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. So you have in the tefillah, right? Don't you have a similar thing by Shabbos? The Shir Shalom for Shabbos? Isn't that? Right. Ojanuvum beseva deshem v'rananim yiyu. They'll still be fruitful in old age, vigorous and fresh they will be. V'hagi ki yasha Hashem tzuri v'lo v'lasabo. Right? I think that is the idea there, right? Ojanuvum beseva. They're fresh. They're still fruitful and as if they're young. In their old age, because their essence is not the physical, so the old age doesn't, insofar as a person is involved in chachma, the old age has no effect on him. On the contrary, the old age enhances his chachma. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. So that's really a complaint that people have. Old age, it's really, you know, it's a burden. It's very difficult, which for the average person it is. It's a tremendous burden. It's very difficult. But you see that really, if a person is on the correct level, you see, of course, I'm not saying every person could reach that. But for the ultimate state of man, old age is really a bracha. It's really a bracha. For the average person, it's not a bracha. But for the ultimate state of man, it's really a bracha. It's an interesting thing. You see, so that's why the pasuk says, "Lahagi ki yasha Hashem tzuriv lov lasabo." See, because old age, really, a person questions God. It's a kasha in their mind. Why did God do this? That took away the physical from me, and now it's so burdensome. It's part of the natural lifespan. A person has to undergo this burden, so a person feels that's an imperfection in the creation. You see, but that's what I'm saying. On the contrary, that's a perfection in the creation, because really that is allows the person to reach a higher level, and that's his real for the person that partakes most of man. Of the nature of man, the true nature of man, this really is exactly the way man is designed, that he should undergo that process of deterioration that will create in him the greatest state of existence insofar as he's a thinking person. That would be the greatest thing. A person that really is on the correct level, where he's a thinker, he would be happy with that. You see? That's the same idea that Plato expressed. That on the contrary, this is what a philosopher is really, his whole life is aimed at, the removal and the withdrawal from the physical world. And now, as he gets older, he could be totally withdrawn. Right? Interesting thing. Yeah. It's funny, like when you read that Seva Tova, you figure out, He's happy, nice. Everything's nice. He's, you know, happy about thinking about his life and everything worked out for him. He could take over and feel great. Ah, everything's good, you know. But it's a little deeper than that.
Yeah. So you can ask questions, not questions?
Yeah.
I have a small question, this week's question. Yeah. I don't know if it's still valid, though, but...
Okay.
I was wondering, why didn't Yaakov Avinu divorce Leah? It seems like he wasn't really so interested in the first place in marrying her. So after he did marry Rachel, why couldn't he just divorce Leah?
Right.
I don't know exactly what his plan was, but...
What's that?
I don't know exactly what his plan was, but...
Right.
Didn't seem like it.
Wasn't that the reason why Shem made her have a child, her first child? Because at first, you know, once he found out that, you know, he didn't marry Leah at first.
Right.
I'm sorry, he didn't marry Rachel at first. He was very, I guess, like, angry at the whole situation.
Right.
And I guess he was about to, but then she got pregnant, had a child. So once you see if she has a child, it's... Now you think twice about divorcing them.
Right.
I don't know why, but I remember Rabbi Moser gave a share on that. And
oh, really?
So you mentioned something like that.
That he considered that.
Yeah.
But once she got pregnant.
Yeah.
Then he couldn't do it.
Well, yeah. didn't they get Nevuah saying that they're each going to have a certain amount of kids?
That's a good question.
At some point.
You mean that collectively they had 12 or that?
Well, no, they didn't have a nevuah that they're going to be 12 shvatim, and then, but Leah was saying, okay, now I have this amount, so.
Right, but no, but even from beforehand, like when did she know that she was going to have a fair amount of children?
Doesn't sound like she did. Because when she had Dina, I think she's misspelled, it wouldn't be a boy. So that Rachel had the same amount of children as the Pilagia.
Right, but they knew that there was going to be 12 kids, right?
Right.
So Leah was part of that.
Okay.
How can Yaakov just divorce her?
When did they know that?
I don't know.
Right.
What? Maybe she wasn't part of it. Maybe there would be 12 kids, but not from her.
Right. Maybe she didn't know?
I guess she didn't know. Yeah, they didn't know. I mean, so Rav Chaim Moser gave a shiur on that. I know
like
the Ramban talks about it, about you know that topic of whether you know did he want to divorce her and I don't know. Did you see him?
No.
I looked at it a long time ago. I forget exactly what he said, but I remember there was something about that, about the idea that he was considering that or. What something surrounding that idea of divorcing Leah. I'm not sure exactly what he said, but yeah. So when I was going to Sir Fine Moses was saying that he did consider it.
Yeah, for sure.
I see.
Like any normal man would consider divorcing a woman who he did not want to marry.
Right. Right, you mean it was, and he was tricked into it.
Yeah.
So therefore, it was not.
It was
not. He never
that.
Made a commitment like that to love and that he's going to do that. So there's no right. In other words, that's a kasher. Why didn't he do it? I mean, if a person's a rational person, that's what the person would do. So.
Yeah, but then like feel like the pasuk like. Like immediately after, says she got pregnant or something like that.
Ah, oh, I see.
Am I right? Is that? I'm pretty sure I didn't do that for him, but I remember it seems like something like that. You know what Aaliyah? It's in the other part.
That she got pregnant immediately after.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the pasuk says it immediately after, but like a couple seconds later or something, it came pregnant.
Well, I guess I would ask after he like a week later after you married Ruffalo.
Yeah.
And I did it.
Why didn't he divorce her immediately?
Right.
In other words, the next morning, he could say, well, that's it. I'm not, you know, this is
right.
not, I didn't, this is a mistake.
Right. But at the very least, that's what he married Ruffalo.
Yeah.
He loved him for the trip.
Right, like the puzzle says, like, Vayar Hashem Kisunua Leah, that Hashem saw that Leah was hated. So he opened her room, but Rachel remained barren. And then she had Reuven, and it was something to do with like the fact that she was hated, like she was about to, I guess, get divorced.
Right before that.
Nice.
Right before that was.
Thought he married Rachel.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until under 7 years, no?
No, he married Rachel the next week, right? In other words, finished the week of celebration, and then, but then you'll work. Right, wasn't that the case?
Yeah.
All
right. You wanna hear it? You want this? Are you looking for a room? Are you looking?
Excellent.
Oh.
Thank
you.
Yeah. You
want? Yeah.
I guess a week's not enough time to know you want to divorce him.
Well, no, but what happened is then he wouldn't have, Lovin wouldn't have given him
Rachel.
You know what I mean? That was the thing. But then why don't you say that he couldn't divorce her because he agreed to keep her in order to get Rachel?
It seemed like Rachel didn't care either.
What's that?
Like Rachel didn't, like, she didn't care. She just wanted to be with Yaakov.
She didn't care the fact that he didn't want Leah?
Well, Leah. Leah didn't care that Yaakov didn't want her, meaning...
No, she wanted him to. Didn't she want him to? Didn't at one point she says, "Okay, now," right? She wanted him.
No, I'm saying after her father said, "Now, you know, gave her, you're going to be with Yaakov tonight."
Oh! She didn't care that you mean that she got him through deceptive means.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, why would a person marry somebody knowing that he wants to marry somebody else and just deceive the person into why would a person do that? In other words, if Leah knew that Yaakov wanted to marry Rachel, so why would Leah marry Yaakov if she knew that Yaakov didn't want her?
But what was the alternative? Marry Esau? Isn't that what they said?
Well, I mean, see, I don't know.
I was saying it was like, what's worse? Marry a guy that doesn't love me, but he's a great guy? Or marry a Russia?
Well, who says that she would marry Esau? Why is that an alternative?
Isn't that like the measures or something?
That's a measures, yeah. But I mean, what? In other words, assuming that the person has the consent, assuming that a person has free choice, you know, that Leah would be able to marry anybody she wanted.
Didn't,
so then why would she want to marry somebody that doesn't like her? Wouldn't that be like sort of a demeaning thing? Like, you feel the guy doesn't like me and I'm going to trick him into marrying me. I mean, wouldn't a person, the normal pride, right, present a certain self-respect,
right? Didn't Rachel help her?
What's that?
Isn't there some Rashi that Rachel helps with?
Yes.
Yeah, she taught her.
She gave her
the signs.
Because they made signs between Yaakov and
because
he knew that Lavan's going to try to do something, so he figured, okay, I'll give her these signs, I'll be able to tell who it is. Then Rachel went and gave the signs to Leah. I mean, I don't understand. If they made up a thing, Rachel apparently made up this thing with Yaakov, so why did she then change her mind and give it to Leah?
mean, she knew. Well, I guess she didn't want Leia to be embarrassed then.
I see the Amban here.
What's that?
I see the Amban here. It says Elohim Yodaki Lihinase Asadik Asakin. God knew that to marry Asadik she Leia did this. The Rafim Allah. Is he mercy upon her?
To marry Asadik what? What is it?
Right, like the puzzle says, that's your question, Jacob, that Vatahar Leah Vatela Bain Vatikra Shema Reuve Ki Amar Ki Ra Hashem Ve Anya Ki Ataye Vani Ishi. Like Leah conceived him for her son, and she called his name Reuven, as she had declared, because Hashem has this similar relation, for now my husband will love me.
Right.
So that's how she called him Reuven.
Right. So she was
So she wanted to get his...
So she knew that would... So that's what Rav Chaim Elazar was saying?
Something like that.
So she knew because she now has a son, Yaakov was going to love her.
Yeah, but having children... That's also a question.
Well,
I mean, not divorce issue.
I was thinking love doesn't mean actual love.
No, it's not. It can't mean like the love.
I don't think it means the same love when Yaakov said
to Rachel.
Yes,
right.
It can't be.
Right. So that's what the Ramban says. Kimitzurah Yaakov Maisim Sharam Leah Bachosa.
Yeah, she says.
Nasan Daita Legarsha.
That's weird though. How come? Yeah, that's interesting.
So he intended to divorce her, but then once she had children.
But it's funny because it seems like this didn't happen for 7 years. At least in the order of the psukim, like first it says that she. I think I'm missing something. I don't think I remember everything in the shir, but it seemed that he worked for 7 years originally for Rachel, but he got Leah instead.
Right.
Then he went to Lavan, and then he worked for another 7 years, and then now he got Rachel, and then it says Leah. That's what the psukim say. No, I'm just saying the order of the psukim, and then the pasuk says then Leah gave birth to Reuven, after working for another 7 years.
No, because where do you see that? Where the
psukim? Just
where is the pasuk?
Just the order. Well, it first starts with okay, so she got. Well, it starts from Pasuk Yichas, I think.
That's right. They have Yaakov as Rachel, but Yamar Evadcha Sheva Shanim Barachel Bitcha Katana. Right, I'll serve for 7 years for Rachel.
Right.
Yamar Lavan Tov Titi Osam Lach Mititi Osam Lishacher Shavai Imadi. Right. It's so better I should give her to you than somebody else. But Yavod Yaakov Barachel Sheva Shanim, he served for 7 years. Leyu Ve'enav Kiyamim Achadim Ba'baso Osah, and it was like a few days for him. Vayomer Yaakov El Lavan Haba Es Ishti Kimala Yamai Ba'bo Eileha. Okay, so now I can marry her. I served 7 years. But yes, if Lavan is called Shem Makom Yas Mishle Vayi. So he switched and he gave him Leah. Vayitan Lavan Leah Zilpa Shivchaso Leah Bito Shivcha. Gave the Shivcha Vayiva Boker Vinehi Leah. Vayame Lavan Mazo Kasiso Li. Right? It was Leah. Vahalo Rachel Avadati Yimach. Lomari Misani. Why did you trick me? Vayame Lavan Lo Yasa Kimba Makama Meno. We don't do that. Lassi Satsir Lathan Bechira. That the young should get married first. Male Shavua Zos, Venitno Chagama Zos, Bavoda Shatavo Imadi, Od Sheva Shana Macheros. So finish these 7 days.
It's 7 years, huh?
No, Shavua Zos, it means this week. See Rashi. Male Shavua Zos, Dabakushari Nakabachat of Shavua Shal Zos, the seven of this. Ben Shivas Yimea Mishnah.
The translation here says 7 years.
Oh,
yeah, right. Has a different
show. Oh, really?
I don't know. The translation of Rashi is 7 days.
she was a weak also, isn't it?
Well, that's what Rashi says.
Shav Hashanah, doesn't he?
No, and then you'll serve for 7 years. See, Rashi says Shavua Zos. Rashi says it's with a.
I see.
Shari Davak Bechatov Shav. I see. It should be Shavua. 7 would be Shavua would be 7, but Shavua, it has a Shva. Shavua Zos means it's Rashi says it's Davak. It's what do you call that?
Smichas?
Smichas. That it's Shavua Shel Zos. The week, the 7 of this one, meaning
of
the
this
week,
year. That's of
the
seven
of these seven, right? The seven of Leah, meaning the 7 days of Simcha of Leah. Complete that, and that'll give you Rachel. You know what I mean?
If and that work for another 7 years?
Then after that, work for 7 years. Meaning you get Rachel after 7 days.
Oh, I see. Oh, it wasn't.
Then you have to work another 7 years after that to earn her. But I will not. I'm not going to make you wait.
So originally for Rachel, he
worked 7 years for Rachel.
He worked 7 years, for, and then he got.
And then he got her.
Leah.
And then he got Leah. So now, Laban said, "Okay, fine. I'll give you Rachel at the end of the Yimei Mishteh, Yimei Simcha of 7 days, but then you have to work another 7 years for her because." Right?
It's funny that Laban didn't make him wait another 7 full years.
I guess he wouldn't.
I guess he felt like he was he felt mistreated. He had to like somehow cater to his.
That's right. Yeah. In other words, if you fool a person, you can't. You cannot. He had to accommodate Yaakov a little. You know, you can't.
Right.
It's impossible. I mean, Yaakov wouldn't have stood for that. In other words. You can pull something over on a person, but then you have to give an accommodation.
Yeah.
You know, you can't.
Yeah,
that
makes sense.
That's not
yeah,
even
so
possible.
So I think it makes sense.
So he did what was possible. In other words, he had to do something that's reasonable in some framework. You can't just do a crazy thing. I mean,
right. Yeah.
So it has to be reasonable in some framework. So he set up a reasonable framework. He said, "Look, you wanted me to do something that's against the minhag makom. That doesn't make any sense. That's not. I'm sure that's not what you had in mind." Right, but of course, it's not reasonable to expect a person to wait another 7 years if they thought they were getting this one. That's unreasonable. So I'm a reasonable person. So okay, let's just finish the Yimei Simcha of Leah. And of course, I'm a reasonable person. You'll get Rachel right away. But that would be unreasonable for you to expect two daughters for the price of one. That's right. So he. You know, a smart businessman could trick you, but he doesn't do something that's unreasonable that he can't present as unreasonable. That's not business. You can't deal with people that way. The way to trick a person and deal with him is to trick him, but you have to do it in a framework that you can present as reasonable. If you can't present it as reasonable, I mean, that's... Yeah. So that's what he did. He's a very smart man.
Why would Yaakov accept that?
What's that?
Why would Yaakov accept that? Yeah.
To get Rachel?
He never agreed.
After 7 days?
No, for another 7 years.
Oh, he probably will because he loved Rachel. But, like, it wouldn't work out. I don't think it'll work out well for Leah, though. Because, like, just imagine. I think Laban. I want to add something. Maybe Laban also knew that if he was alone with Leah, like, Leah would have. Not been, like, I don't know, just somehow not treated the way. I mean, if Rachel was there with Leah, it would have, like, I guess, made things a little less, I guess, quote unquote, awkward in a way. So maybe Laban also knew that because if Rachel was there, it somehow would have relieved some of the tension. Of course, if she was there along with Yaakov, it would just
right.
be a little less. Because I'm sure Lava cared for his children, like...
Very care for his children.
You know, but...
I was just thinking about that.
Like...
Because you think they're, like, he said, didn't Levin say, like, you have to take Leah because she's the oldest one.
Right.
And the older one got to get married for a younger one.
Right.
Is that a real thing? Or is Levin thinking, like, here's Leah, she's, you know, she's the oldest one, she's still not married yet.
Right.
I kind of wanted to just, you know... marry my children off.
Right.
So, like, did he do that because it's a natural thing to marry the older one got to marry the younger one? Older one has to get married before the younger one?
Well, that was something that was like a practice, but apparently it was something that was flexible. The normal practice is that way, but you don't have to always follow the normal practice.
Well, Lovin felt that he needed to.
Well, Lovin used that as a justification. Whereas Lovin's plan was...
So that's the question. Did he really care about marrying Ophelia? Like, really care for Leia that she should be married?
What his personal motivation? Why did he want Leia to be married? I mean, I get... What would be the other... Well, one possibility is he wanted her to get married. The other possibility is he wanted to get 14 years of...
Right.
Right. That's right. I'm sure that all of those factors were significant. Right. He would get the 14 years of work out of Yaakov. That was a very powerful motive. Yes, definitely. And the children were a vehicle for his enhancing his wealth. Yeah. Right. Because why would he want... Right, why would he want Leia to be married to somebody that doesn't like him? I mean, it doesn't seem like a type of a thing that from a purely, practical considerations you would do. You would want your child to have that situation. Why would you do that? That's correct. So it would seem that the important thing to him was the financial gain. And the fact that Leia would be stuck with somebody that doesn't like him, doesn't like her, okay, she'll work it out. But the primary thing was the financial gain. It would seem so, yeah. Yeah. I mean, a person like that doesn't say to himself, well, I don't like this kid. I'll just get rid of her, right? But, you know, they're not aware of their motives. In other words, what motives are primary? You know, they feel like, okay, you know, he's a great guy, and, you know, I'm sure it'll be great for Leia to be married to such a great guy. That's really what I want. So in his mind... You know, he presents the case in his mind as a virtuous thing, as a really, this is the best thing for the kid. But underlying, of course, that's not the primary motive. It would appear the primary motive is financial gain. And this is a great way to get 14 years out of this guy.
Only in the end to lose, no?
What's that?
In the end, Yaakov ended up taking most of the...
Yeah, you mean the way he worked it out, right? Yeah. Right. He worked it out that he got
the bad end of the deal.
He got the bad end of the deal. That's right. Yeah, but that he needed hashgacha for. But apparently, without hashgacha, forget it. He was not able to succeed against Lava. And Yaakov was very astute bargainer. He was very capable. At handling these types of things, but I guess Lavan was really an unbelievable...
Different Madrega
of bargaining and maneuvering. Different Madrega of maneuvering. Yeah. It would appear without the Ashkacha, he would have been, forget it. That's right, different Madrega. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. So I heard actually, Danny Wolf had told me years ago that they were, he was discussing with his, with some people about that idea that Rachel, that she, Yaakov made up certain signals to her, with hers, because he knew that Rachel was going to do, you know, something tricky, and that Rachel then gave the simonim to Leia, right? And the question is, why did she give the simonim? So does Rashi say? Does Rashi give? Here. You want this one? I have. Because I have a home. Yeah, one second. Here, take this. I got one. Just see one second. Does Perhaps she's saying anything.
What was the question?
In other words, why did Rachel give the siman to Leah? So the siman, the pasuk doesn't say anything, right? This is in the Medrash, right? What?
Right, yeah, it's Medrash.
Yeah. So,
what
is it?
Chafe.
Chafe. Okay. So let's see. Rashi says, Chafe vayhi b'bogavinehu Leah. Of Belila Lohaisa Leah Lefisher Masa Yaakov Simanim Lerachel Kesherasa Rachel Shemachnisim Leah Amra Achshav Tikalei Machosi Amda Masra La Osin Siman. Oh, she was worried that she said she'll be embarrassed, she'll be degraded because there she's there, and then he's gonna walk away. So she'll be embarrassed. So that's why she gave it. So.
But then what?
What's that?
What about the morning now?
What about the morning?
I mean, it's not even about you sitting outside.
Oh, right.
It would have been too late, but. Too late. Oh, no, never mind. It can't be.
What about the morning? You should be embarrassed in the morning.
Yeah.
Right.
What? Why? Is that Rachel?
What's that?
No, I was just making a joke.
Right. So, she didn't want her... Yeah, that's what Rachel says. She didn't want her to be embarrassed. Why? Because then he'll... so I don't know why... I forget, he had a question here. And maybe his question was, she didn't want her to be embarrassed. But 1 second, why did she make up the, why did they agree on the simanim? Why didn't Rachel agree on the siman with Yaakov? Because there's some justice here. Okay, this person, you don't want to embarrass this person, but she's doing something unjust. Right? Leah's doing something unjust because that was the agreement. Yaakov had a certain agreement with Lavan. They agreed to, Lavan agreed to marry, to give away Rachel. And he worked 7 years, and now he worked for 7 years for her, and now he's going to get what they agreed on. So to make a switch, that's unjust. That's not a just action. So okay, the person's going to be embarrassed. I mean, but there's a certain fair is fair. So why did Rachel give over the siman? I mean, look, a person could be embarrassed. You can't save a person from every embarrassment, but there's a certain priority. If a person's going to be embarrassed and an injustice is occurring, I mean, okay, what could you do? Why did that remove the whole issue of why they established this? They established the siman because that's the just thing. I agree, I'm going to get a certain thing. And you're going to pay me a certain... I paid you, and now you're delivering the goods. Now I'm saying, okay, well, if this person will be embarrassed, okay, we'll let you give different goods that I didn't want. It's not exactly a system of justice. Right? Of course, you don't do things to embarrass a person. But that doesn't mean that you steal or you do types of injustices to save a person from being embarrassed. That you don't do. So why did she agree to that? That must be the God. Right? That makes sense. Why would she agree to such a thing? You're committing an injustice. A person gives up 7 years of his life. Okay, you can't help it. The person can be embarrassed. We didn't do it intentionally, but what can we do? Right? That's a good question. Say, I paid $100,000 for a certain thing. and that we agreed you're going to hand over this object. And now you don't want to hand over the object because somebody's going to be embarrassed. Isaac and Kasha, like, you don't think, but like, you feel, okay, yeah, it makes sense, she's gonna be embarrassed. Okay.
The question is, why ruffle over the
I like that question. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that your next question, right?
What's that? Why don't you give this Amanim? They set up this Amanim because that's justice.
Why weren't you worried also about Yaakov being embarrassed?
What, that he's gonna be embarrassed of what? That he's gonna walk away?
No, that at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, that he's going to end up with the wrong...
Right.
Right, that's what we're saying. Why did you worry about Yaakov having the wrong person, marrying the wrong person? What kind of a thing is that? Oh, this is just like a fairy tale, like it's going to go away and, you know, we'll work it out. You're talking about a big event.
I don't know if this adds up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some... There was something that I guess Rachel maybe was like... He thought that if Yaakov knew right away that it was Leah,
yeah,
that he would be upset, and that he wouldn't. He would think that what is he getting himself into in terms of like why maybe this is not the place I should be.
No, because that's why they set up this amanim.
No, set up this amanim in order that actually Yaakov has relations now with Leah.
That he'll get.
Let's say Yaakov.
He'll get Rachel.
He's thinking he's getting Rachel, right?
Right. But
now he's staying. Now he's here. If there were no Simanim,
yeah,
he would know it was Leah.
Right.
And then everyone would just be mad at each other.
No, he wouldn't know it's Leah. He doesn't know who he's marrying. That's why they did the Simanim. Because you don't know. You don't know who you're getting. I mean,
no, isn't the question why did she give over the Simanim?
No, the question... Yeah, why don't you give him the Simanim? Because what's the purpose of the Simanim? If I could see the person who I'm marrying... I don't know what the situation is, why you can't
whatever,
just look
yeah.
at the person's face and
well,
see.
Doesn't the Pesach say that he, that Lavan threw a Mishnah? Meaning, like, in order to have a proper Mishnah, you need to have a lot of alcohol? Doesn't someone say that he was drunk?
Okay, but let's just deal with the Mishnah. I can't deal with every Medrash. But the thing is, that obviously there was no way to directly determine who the person is when you're marrying them for some reason. That's what the Simanim were, that he'll know by the fact that she does a certain action with her hand.
Right, so let's say... So
there's no way to know that. Okay.
Now he thinks that it's Rachel because of the Simanim.
Yes.
So if Rachel, the question is why did Rachel give over the Simanim to Leah?
Because the whole plan was if it's Leah, oh no, it's not her, I'm not going through with it.
Right, but... It's only once you know. I mean, I don't know what the Simanim do, and at what point do you know it's actually the person?
Before you get through the marriage.
Before you get
married. Otherwise, the Simanim wouldn't make sense. I'm going to marry the person, and then it's too late.
This is not at night during, unless they're having relations.
No. The Simanim are that he should know who he's marrying. In other words, so what are you trying to say? What's the difference when the Simanim are?
I guess maybe it doesn't really matter, but let's say
say the Simanim are when they're
maybe it doesn't really matter. But
okay.
if the Simanim aren't there,
yes.
and he knows it's Leah, then
okay.
he knows that he's getting tricked right then and there.
Right.
So why would he want to be part of something or be part of this family? If
he thinks they're trickers?
Yeah.
Well, he knew they're trickers. That's for sure. Lavan was the trickiest guy in the world.
But that doesn't mean that Leah and Rachel are going to be tricking as well, in terms of like trying to like fool him in some way.
Well, Leah, he doesn't care if she's going to try to fool him. He's marrying Rachel. I mean, look, the point is why they set the thing up, because he knew that they're going to be trying to trick him. Not that Rachel's going to try to trick him, but that Leah and Lavan will try to trick him. So that's why he set the thing up.
Maybe, I mean, I guess what I want to try to say is that
what's going to get Yaakov to stay is that if he's with Rachel.
Okay.
So as long as he has some, as long as that's still there, Yaakov will remain.
Okay, but then when he finds out it's Leah, that's it. So what good, why would you give him her this money? The plain shot, yeah, okay.
Well, because if he didn't have those simonim beforehand, he wouldn't think that he would be with Rachel. Now once the simonim are there, he thinks that he's still with Rachel.
Right, so is that good? The purpose of the simonim is that he shouldn't be tricked. And now she's giving the simonim, now he in fact will be tricked. So what did you need the simonim for? Just go with whoever they give you and you'll think it's Rachel. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was he wanted to avoid being unjustly tricked. I mean, he wanted to avoid being the victim of an injustice. That was, right? He was straight. He was working straight. I'm going to work for this person, and justice is that I spent 7 years working. I should get what I worked for, right? So now he set that thing up in order to ensure that justice is carried out. Right? Now, at the last moment, she decides that somebody being embarrassed, my sister being embarrassed, will trump an injustice. That's very nice of her, but he's the one that worked 7 years. I mean, I think you should maybe ask him first. if you feel that her embarrassment is of such importance, well, maybe ask him, you know, do you mind marrying her so she wouldn't be embarrassed? And, you know, you work another 7 years for me. We'll see what he says. So it turns out Rachel herself is committing an injustice and tricking Yaakov. I mean, what kind of a thing is that? Right? So that was his question. I mean, I don't know if that was his question, but that's the question that makes sense. Right? So yeah, I think he gave a very nice answer. What do you say? Right, I think that's a pretty good question, right? Okay, so here's what he said. He said, very simply, that she realized it's not going to work. That you're not going to be able to outsmart him. So these simonim that you gave are not going to work. He, Lavan, is going to do something to counteract, to outsmart you. So the plan's not going to work. Because I know my father, she realized that the father's too tricky for this. And that the father, Lavan, will, these simonim are not going to work. So therefore you're going to be unsuccessful. So since you're going to be unsuccessful, she's going to be embarrassed for no reason. So therefore, she gave her the simonim. Because if the simonim would have worked, if their plan would have worked, she wouldn't have given the simonim. That's ridiculous. But if the plan is not going to work, she realizes the way things are going, the father is far trickier than they thought. So she realized it's not going to work. This is a nice plan, but it's not going to work. So since it's not going to work, what are you going to do? You're just going to embarrass Leah. Forget it. So she gave Leah the simonim. So that's what Rashi means. She gave the simonim to avoid Leah's embarrassment. Because justice would not have been carried out anyways. So now you have a question of to embarrass the person or not to embarrass him. Oh, you better give the simonim. And as she knew, Yaakov's going to end up marrying Leah either way. He's going to have to marry her. There's no way Lavan is going to be tricked.
Did Yaakov know that?
Huh?
Did Yaakov know that he was going to marry her?
I don't know if he knew that.
Or was it?
But Rachel realized that this plan is not going to work. And you're going to end up having to marry. My father's going to work it out. That even if I don't give this some money, he will enforce his plan one way or the other. So therefore you're just going to embarrass her. I gave her this money.
So why did they have this in mind in the first place?
Good question. I was thinking about that. So you have to say that originally she felt it would work. Due to Yaakov's influence, and as Yaakov worked out a whole thing, so at the time when they were formulating the plan, she felt it would work. But what happened was afterwards, when she was able to reconsider, when she was able to, after Yaakov had left, and she was able to contemplate a little further about the situation, she realized that the father's is not going to work. In other words, she momentarily underestimated the father's trickiness. But when she then was not in the emotion, in the situation, she was withdrawn and just objectively thinking about it, she realized, no way is this going to work. See, sometimes you formulate a plan because you have a certain desire, let's carry this thing out, and you get involved in the formulation of the plan. It's a very good plan, but sometimes afterwards, once the plan is formulated and you can consider objectively, think about it, you then are able to look at it objectively and you say, it's not going to work. So you can get in a frame of mind where you're not under the influence of the plan, and then you're able to look at the situation in a clear-minded way. You realize, and you're withdrawn from the emotion. The normal person can't do that, because the normal person, once they formulate a plan, they become attached to that goal, and therefore they can't go back and reconsider. Maybe the whole thing is crazy. Can't do that, because they agreed with something. They agreed with another person, Yaakov. They agreed. They got together. They formulated a plan. Worked it out. And the mission is, the goal is right there, you see? And then that's it. The time for consideration is over. You know what I mean? In that person's mind, it's a done deal, you see? But a person on a higher level, that's not the case, you see? Even when they worked out a logical thing, there's still a part of the mind that can look objectively and say, okay, this is a great plan. Now let's just look. Even though we formulated this whole thing, let's see if this is really a true thing. You see? And she could do. She was able to do that. And she was able to, once she sensed it might not be a great plan, you see, then she was able to say, well, you know what? Maybe the plan will work, but her natural intuition was it's not going to work. You see? And she said, why embarrass this person? You see, why embarrass the other person? A normal person is driven by the desire to get married. I mean, you can imagine her desire to get married was tremendous. So a normal person is driven by the desire to get married, and that convinces them this is going to work, you see, because they don't want to consider the possibility of having a sister marry. See, but she was able to look at it. And she said, this is really not going to work. Now that it's not going to work, I have a choice. I could stick with this thing, and on the way out chance that it'll work, and my sister embarrassed, or I could say, look, it's not really realistic, and why embarrass the person? And that she was able to do that. So that's a tremendous ability. She was able to remove herself from the influence of the emotion. You see, but that was Danny Wolf's shot, and I think it's a good shot. Because how else? There's no other way to remove the justice component from the equation. You can't say that I'm going to save a person from embarrassment and commit an injustice. That's good. I think it's a very nice shot. Yeah.
Why couldn't you just tell Yaakov this? If she knew it couldn't work out that way.
That's a good question. Could be she couldn't convince him. It could be that, and I'm just speculating, but it could be sometimes a person that has familiarity with another person has a certain insight and a certain intuition that is a person that doesn't have the same kind of experience with him won't won't realize. You know, but her, you know, her familiarity with Lavan was maybe such that she knew a person that doesn't know him the way I know him will be fooled, will underestimate his. I mean, it's possible. I don't know. That's already gone, you know, a little beyond. But that was his deduction. That was his deduction. I think it's a good deduction, because if that's the case, then there's no issue of justice. Now it's just a question of embarrassing the person. Okay. That's the situation. Okay.